in a minute, it'll be part two. But I will make a comment about, Brother Kenneth gave me lots of thoughts, but there was one particular thought that I had was hungering. Yes. Having an appetite for the Word of God. Think for just a second before we get into before we turn that diamond and look at the same thing from a little different perspective. If you're just sitting around the house and not doing anything, or wherever you might be and not doing anything, would you get more hungry doing that or after you've worked all day? Or played hard all day? Which one would give you more of an appetite? So spiritually speaking, if we neglect the Word, if we're not praying, if we're not helping others, if we're not thinking about God, or if we are doing all those things, which one would give us a more of a spiritual appetite? I think we might have hit on something here. Elder Sonny Pyle years ago talked about how that you would think that people that get involved in the world and miss church, that they would get hungrier and hungrier for the Word of God. Assuming it's the person who once did that. But he said, no, the fact is they begin to lose their appetite for the Word of God. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because if we're not hungering for the things of God, Satan's got us right where he wants us. Because something else is taking priority. So, yes, the blessing is to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled, the Lord said. Okay. Now, remember everything that Brother Kenneth said. I know you will. I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. And much of what we've heard already this morning, I'm going to take that and just turn it a little bit and come at it from a little different angle, a little different perspective, maybe a little different application. But it's much the same truth. And it's so needful in our day. You know, I would rather preach about predestination and election and eternal security and all those glorious doctrines that we rejoice in, and hopefully everything that we say will be built upon that foundation. But if we left off the eternal things, it's not going to change a thing concerning what Jesus accomplished for us and what he secured for us and what will be ours when this life is over. That'll never change. But if we leave off the practical things and move away from those things and neglect those things and let the house lie waste, the house of God, it'll have a big effect. So we need it. We need it. Jeremiah chapter 8, I hope you found it by now. It's hard to jump into the middle of this. Remember, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. The people of God have gone so far from the Lord. They're so guilty of idolatry. They're so guilty of other things. And they've not heeded the prophets that God has sent time and time and time again to the people. They just refuse. And you go to 2 Chronicles, the end of 2 Chronicles, and you find that what Jeremiah had prophesied to them, that God would send in the Chaldeans and carry them away captive, and they would be in captivity for 70 years. Unless they repented. And we find the time came when there was no remedy. They didn't consider their ways, did they? By the way, Brother Kenneth, that broken, you talk about how you're afraid you sounded like a broken record. There was a preacher that went to a church one time, and the first message he preached was repentance. The second message he preached was repentance. The third message he preached was repentance. finally, the deacon got to him and said, when are you going to preach something else? He said, when somebody repents. Maybe it's needful. Now, I'm sure if you're following the leadership of the Spirit, it's on us. If it sounds like a broken record, it's on us to make the change. Jeremiah chapter 8. This people that God had repeatedly sent prophets to preach unto them, to call them to repentance, they would not. I'm going to just begin in verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. You know, there's times when we sorrow and we've got great hope. But when we sorrow in despair, without hope, that's in a bad condition. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? God's people were facing a very, very, not too far off into the future, the Chaldeans were going to come in and take them captive. And eventually, there was going to be several waves of carrying them away in captivity. Because they didn't consider their ways, because they didn't repent, because they didn't take heed to the word of God. The prophets had been warning them. They weren't listening. Not even the king was listening. All right? Is not the Lord in Zion? He's there. He's able. He can do what's necessary to change things. Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? I don't know that we have graven images today, but there's certainly plenty of strange vanities, unprofitable things, unprofitable spiritually. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Listen to the heart of the prophet. He had a love for God's people. He preached to God's people. They wouldn't hear him, but he continued to preach to God's people the things that God had put upon his heart, the words that God had put in his mouth to give to them, which were good words, which would be good for them, which would cause them to dwell in the pleasure of the Lord instead of his judgment. And it hurt the prophet for them to ignore what he knows would be good for them. And so he asks the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then? The obvious answer is yes to both of those. Yes, yes. Well, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? In other words, they had what they needed to remedy the situation. Let that sink in for a second. They had what they needed to remedy the situation. Before we get further into it, fast forward to today. Do we have what we need? I think you've heard it already. You know, do we have what we need that would tell us what we need to remedy our situation. I don't want to give a doleful, bleak impression. I want things to be better. But if things are going to be better, it may have to start with me and continue with me. And I hope that could have some influence on others and continue with others. You see, when I say me, just put yourself in the same position. Take it personally. All right. All of God's people need to hear this today. We were blessed to be in a wonderful meeting yesterday and visiting with ministers. And you know, sometimes you look at your local situation and you think, well, what's wrong with me, or what's happening, or whatever. And then when you go and you hear that the same things that are affecting us here are affecting others all over the country. And so it's not a matter of saying, oh, well, that's just the way it is. No, no, no. It may be the same problem everywhere, but we don't have to just sit down and give up. We've got the same God. We've got the same Word. We've got the same Spirit. We've got the same love. We've got the same mercy with the same grace that anyone has ever needed to find revival and hope and joy in abundance in the kingdom of God. But there's something standing between us. Sometimes we speak of it as repentance. Sometimes we speak of it as obedience. Sometimes we speak of it as applying ourselves to this Word. You know, what Brother Kenneth was reading for us was those folks that had come back from captivity. God had given them had given them grace for a space. He had given them a window of opportunity to come back and to build the house of God. And they started, and then they left off. And for 20 years, they left it off. And then Haggai and a couple of others were sent with messages to stir up the people and to begin to rebuild the temple. And then it was done. But bless your heart, sometimes we need to be stirred up, don't we? I do. I suspect you do too. But what I want you to see is they had, all the while, they had, God had given them all that they needed for it. Do we have an appetite for it? Do we have a heart for it? Do we have feet for it? Do we have hands for it? Do we have a heart? Did I say that? Do we have a heart for it? The question burns. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Let's notice some words. The prophet said, I'm black. That's not an indication of physical appearance. That word conveys the idea of being mournful. Mournful in and for the darkness of the times. It was a dark time. Judgment was coming. They weren't doing what God said to avoid judgment. It was imminent. And we know how dreadful it was. It was a dark time. I'm black, he says. It also carried the idea of being in ash, sackcloth and ashes. We think of it as a color, but it was a condition, a state of being. Mournful. Do we mourn for the condition of Zion today? The word health. Why then is not the health, the daughter of my people, recovered? That word health there has reference to the restoring of soundness. Health. We'd rather be healthy, right? We want health. And brethren, I want health for the church. Restoring of soundness. And that comes from getting closer to what the Word of God teaches us that we ought to be. You know, rejecting the word would bring blindness and confusion. And even in Deuteronomy, he talks about how that when they would not observe to do all that he commanded them, that the diseases of Egypt would come upon them. When they were disobedient in the wilderness, he sent sometimes fiery serpents. Yeah. And that's a powerful lesson for us. He didn't make the fiery serpents. You keep reading the scriptures, you find the serpents were already there, but God was protecting them from them. But when they sinned, he allowed the serpents to bite them. Look at what we're experiencing in our culture today. So many ills are coming in upon us for the rejection of godliness and choosing the flesh. It's happening on a wholesale basis. What do we need? We need the Word of God. We need adherence to the Word of God. Our lives need to be fashioned, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's where it starts. To follow the Word of God. So, is there no balm in Gilead? That's an interesting thing. You remember when Joseph's brethren hated him and they threw him in a pit. And then they were sitting around and eating and trying to decide what they're going to do with him. And there came some traders from Gilead bearing their balm, taking it down to Egypt to sell it. It was considered a precious thing. All right? It helped people physically. It was good for them. They knew when they had physical ills, they knew some things naturally that they could do to help their physical condition. And so Jeremiah uses that question, is there no balm in Gilead? You know what to do for the body. Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? This balm, so I mentioned Joseph in the pit. Then later, when the famine struck, and Jacob would send his, you know, they'd gone down to Egypt once for corn, and they were told by that harsh man, Joseph, the one that was in the pit that they sold to the traders, that you know the story. They told they had to bring Benjamin the second time if they were going to come back and get any more corn. And so Jacob instructed them, take him a present. Part of what he's told them to take was some balm. They recognized how precious it was. And they had it. They had it. Okay? Keep that. Hang on to that. They had it. Later on, when the children of Israel would come out of Egypt and settle in Canaan's land. And I'm covering a lot there, aren't I? Do you know what was part of Canaan? Gilead! They became the owners, and they control the market for the balm in Gilead. They had it. They had control of it. This that could help them physically. The Word of God, it uses that as an illustration to compare that we've got something. God has given us something that will help us spiritually. Jeremiah brings it up. What they needed for their body, they had it. It was in Gilead. It was part of their inheritance. Go over to the New Testament. The messages to the seven churches of Asia. Remember Laodicea? Let me turn to that. I probably can't quote it. Revelation chapter 3. Do you remember the problem at Laodicea? They were lukewarm. The Lord said, I'd rather you to be hot or cold. You know why I'd rather them either be hot or cold? At least they'd do something. But if they're lukewarm, they're comfortable. Oh, my goodness. Hasn't that had an impact upon us in our nation? We've been so blessed in so many ways. We're so comfortable in so many ways. If we're not comfortable, we've got the resources to take care of that so that we can be comfortable, so that everybody's comfortable in the house of God. And what does that do for us? Puts us to sleep. You want to get comfortable to go to sleep, don't you? So we make our house of God comfortable as we can so we can go to sleep. You know what I'm talking about. All right. The Lord didn't like that. This is the last of the seven churches of Asia. All right. And I don't have time to go through a lot of it, but he said, I would that thou were either hot or cold. All right. Look what he says about their condition. So then, verse 16, Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, comfortable, going to sleep, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That doesn't sound like a blessing to me. That doesn't sound like God's well pleased. He's rejecting them in a timely sense, just like he sent judgment upon Israel, just like other times. Now, listen to verses 17 and 18. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wow. This was to Laodicea. All right. Remember what I said about Gilead? It became part of Israel. They had control over all of this marvelous, beneficial balm. If you read history, Thirteen miles from where this church was located, there was a medical college. And in its day, and this is well documented, there was a medical college 13 miles from that church. And in that area, their specialty was an eye salve, a balm that was very healthful. What did the Lord tell them? Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold. They said they were rich. So he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, the right kind of riches, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, because they were naked. As far as God said, you know, not literally, but in their spiritual condition, they didn't have. They weren't clothing themselves. They weren't adorning themselves with the doctrine of God. They were naked. They just had themselves. Right? White raiment thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. This would have particular attention to the folks in that area, because just 13 miles away there was this medical college, and their specialty was this eye salve. The point is, they had it. It was available. And so in this spiritual lesson, he's saying, look, just like in a natural sense, you've got that available for you to help you in the condition that you need, because you're blind. You need this to help your eyes. The spiritual sense, they needed something that God had already provided for them. But they weren't using it. They weren't applying it, even though it was right there in their midst. The Lord uses in his word a number of references to how his word is good for us. Jesus said, pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. He's not talking about loaves falling from heaven. He's talking about this word. We need a good meal of this word on a regular basis. It's our daily bread. He didn't say monthly bread. He didn't say quarterly bread. He didn't say annual bread. I like what the Methodist Church on the road here has on their sign. You know, we're open between Christmas and Easter. It's daily bread. Daily. Last time I checked, that's every 24 hours. I need a dose. I need a few bites. And it doesn't have to be 17 chapters. I have feasted on one little word in one little verse before, haven't you? If the desire is there, if the appetite for it is there, if the desire is for that would take me, that I take it in, and it would nurture me, and it would strengthen me, so that I may be better equipped as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, then bless your heart, one little morsel, God can multiply it like he did the fishes and the loaves. And you can be filled with it. We can be. Are we? Sorry for the reality check, but are we? My heart is heavy for the condition of Zion. It's not a matter of being critical. It's a matter of wanting what's good and right. And it's right here before us. God has already provided it for us. Can you imagine the condition of a church when all of its members start reading the Word of God every day and praying and doing what they can? You want to talk about revival? That would be it. It's right here. It's available to us. Just like the balm became part of their kingdom in Canaan. Just like the balm, the eye salve that was right there available to Laodicea. We've got it. It's the Word of God. If we start praying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Can't think of anything you've asked for? Ask for that. And let the Lord decide. Oh, what a thought. Because he knows what's best. He knows all that we need. Lord, I would that we as a church could incorporate that in our prayers every day. Lord, what would you have me to do? It would, like Brother Kenneth indicated, it would help you every day. And when we would get to the house of God, we've been working. We've been building an appetite. We're ready to hear the word. We're ready to receive the word. We can feast upon the word. The Spirit of God would be so stronger that God would bless our assembly. He's promised to do so. When they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. What a prospect. I'm a faithful God. He's able. He'll do it. He can and he will, but he won't waste it. He's not going to pour it out upon where it's not wanted. If there's no appetite for it, it ain't showing up. There's something in between, isn't there? There's something in between. Is there no balm in Gilead? Oh, yes, there is. Is there no physician there?
Oh, yes, we have.
We have the greatest. We call him the great physician, but he's the greatest physician. We have what we need.
Romans 10. Well, let me see. Let me get a couple of verses. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me grab very quickly.
I told you, I started out with the daily bread, how that the Lord oftentimes in his word equates his words to that which would be like bread for our body.
1 Timothy chapter 6, and just very briefly, I want to notice in verse 3, Paul says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. That word wholesome there carries the idea of something that will strengthen you, something that will nurture you, something that will build you up. Wholesome words.
I won't take time to read some of the other, but wholesome words, all right? Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. This is the same idea being conveyed here. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Wholesome words, sound words. Then Titus. Paul is briefly going through the qualifications for a minister in chapter 1 and down in verse 9, he says, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, the same idea here, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Not that they come into being, but that they adorn sound doctrine. They're comprised of what makes sound doctrine. And Paul uses that later, I believe, in verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he's of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil to say of you. The point is, repeatedly in the New Testament, God uses words to express the value, the benefit to us of his word as being wholesome and sound and promoting soundness within our very soul so that we can be edified, so that we can be built up and strengthened as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can stand in this evil and wicked world. It's what we need to grow. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, when the apostle Paul was leaving Ephesus and he met with the elders, he was on his way to Jerusalem and he met with the elders there, and when he told them what lay ahead, they fell on his neck and wept because he said he'd see their face no more. But Paul said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. It's the word of God, the word of his grace that builds us up and strengthens us in this life. And as we're searching for that word, and as we're digging into the word of God, and as we're having something that we can meditate upon and have it feed our souls, we are much stronger.
Absolutely.
To face the temptations of life. And those things which are ahead. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, and we'll close. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Last book of the Bible. Okay? Revelation 1, 3.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. He's not talking about just the audible sound of these words. He's talking about hearing it and taking heed to it, laying it to heart, and acting upon it. All right? What is the blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time that we need these words is right now. And I am not persuaded that that statement is limited to the book of Revelation. It is the completion of the canon of Scripture. I believe it applies to all Scripture, because all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It builds us up. Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Who are sanctified? Chosen out by God before the foundation of the world, loved by God even then, sent his son to this world to save them from their sins. He watches over us each day. It doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble. It doesn't mean we're not going to face bad things in this world. It just simply means where he is. And nothing can ever separate us from his love. Nothing, as John 10 says, no one can ever pluck us out of his hand. Where he is. And we've got all that we need. We've got it. It's right here. I fibbed. I got one more verse. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. What I'm talking about, we've got it. It's available to us. It's just like the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome when he began this chapter by saying, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God for Israel is that they might be saved. All right? He's not talking about their eternal home and glory. He's talking about being saved from their ignorance. All right? He said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. He fulfilled it for us. Yes, we come short. Yes, we make our mistakes. Yes, sometimes we feel to be worthless in the service of God. But Christ fulfilled it for us. We are not worthless in the sight of the Father for Jesus' sake. But that doesn't give us an excuse to be lazy in his service. We have what, so, okay. Verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down above, from above. We don't need to go get Christ again. He finished the work. We don't have to try to figure out a way to get to heaven and bring him back down here. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. He didn't have to do that again. He did it once. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Here it is again. Here's the idea again. We have what we need. It's available. It's right here. But what saith the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we need that salvation every day. We need the reminder of that finished work every day. And we've got it. You can't read this book without being reminded of what God's done for us. You can't read this word without being reminded of His power, His love, His glory. Sometimes you'll be reading, you might even be searching for a certain subject, and all these other subjects are just right there because it's just so interrelated. It's one whole word, and it's wholesome for your soul. We have it. It's available for us. May God help us use it for our brokenness, for our shortcomings, for whatever we need to serve Him better each day. May God bless you, is our prayer.